Welcome back to the OU Nachyomi Project and our series on Divrei Hayamim Aleph. In today's year, we study Chapter 17, Perek Yud Zayin. As usual, our series is sponsored with the help of the Cyprus Foundation in conjunction with the Tanakh Study Center, tanach.org. Perek Yud Zayin begins with Pasuk Aleph, Vayi kashir yashav David beveito, Vayomer David al Natan ha-Navi, Hinei anochi yoshev bebeit ha-Razim, Va'aron brit Adonai tachat yiriyot. David tells Natan the prophet, it doesn't make sense. I'm living in a beautiful house of cedar wood, and God's ark is housed merely in a tent. The manner in which David HaMelech phrases his question will help us understand what transpires later on in the chapter. Because David should simply say to God, I'd like to build a house for you. Why does he phrase it, look, it doesn't make sense that I'm living in a palace, and God's only in a tent? Let's say David wasn't living in a palace, and let's say David was living in a tent. Then it wouldn't be okay to build a house for God? We're going to see, as we continue our study today, that it's not simply David HaMelech's own personal life, which is the main topic, but there's going to be a connection between the state of the nation and the state of the Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk Bet, Vayomer Natan al David. David answers back to Natan, Kol asher bavavcha aseh, whatever is in your heart, go and do, ki ha'Elohim imach, because God is with you. The answer that Natan seems to give is that it's okay to build. Even though Natan told David it was okay to build, Pasuk Gimel, Vahi balaylahu, it came to pass that evening, Vahi dvar Elohim el Natan lemor. God spoke to Natan in a prophetic vision that evening. Lech v'yamartel David avdi, go tell David my servant, kol mar Adonai, this is the word of God, lo ata tivne li habayit lashevet. You will not be the one to build a house for me to dwell in. We'll continue God's explanation to Natan very soon, but before we continue, there's a lot of very basic points that arise here in this discussion. First of all, how can a Navi make a mistake? David asked a very good question, can I build a house for God? Natan the prophet tells David it's okay, and then God comes to Natan the prophet and tells him it's not okay. This encounter between David, Natan, and God can help us appreciate the nature of prophecy in the time of Tanakh. A prophet is not someone who knows everything. A prophet is not someone who every word that he says and every word that comes out of his mouth is the word of God. A prophet is a spokesperson on behalf of God. He has the capability and the ability to receive prophecy from God if God finds it necessary or important for the Jewish people. However, the prophet is also allowed to have his own opinion. What does he build his own opinion on? He builds that opinion based on his study of the Torah, his understanding of Judaism, his own general knowledge, and his understanding of current events. The primary source for all Nevi'im are the words of the Torah itself, Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the greatest of all Nevi'im. In light of the words of the Torah, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Sheba'al Peh, and the traditions that the Navi studied and that he learned from his teachers, and based on the political situation in the country, the prophet makes his decisions. If there's a situation that he doesn't know the answer or he doesn't feel capable of answering, then he'll turn to God and pray that God will inspire him in a prophetic dream and give him the right answer or show him in the right direction. Or if Am Yisrael is on a high enough level, they might go to the Kohen Gadol to ask through the Urim V'Tumim to get the answer or the direction. But here, the question to Natan seemed to be a very simple one, and Natan was quite sure that the answer is, it's okay, and go ahead with it. To appreciate why Natan said it was okay, and what led him to the decision that it makes sense that David should be allowed to build the Beit HaMikdash, almost for sure is based on Sefer Dvarim Perek Yud Bet. In chapter 12 in the book of Deuteronomy, we have the main source for the commandment to build a house for God. There it's referred to as HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem L'Shaken Shmo Sham, the place that God is going to choose where his name or his reputation will dwell. Even though there's already a Mishkan that was built at Har Sinai, that traveled with Am Yisrael as they traveled through the desert and entered and conquered the land, by its very nature, the Mishkan is temporary, and it needs to be temporary in the early stages because they're traveling from the desert to the land of Israel, and in the land of Israel, they're traveling and conquering the land, and they don't know for sure exactly where the permanent place for the Beit HaMikdash is going to be. The hope is that at one time in Jewish history, we'll reach a certain level of stability where we will no longer need a temporary or portable Mishkan, but rather, we could have a permanent one. The guidelines for that site and when is the right time to build it are detailed in chapter 12 in Dvarim. That chapter begins with when you come into land, there's a commandment to rid yourself of all the places of worship of other gods. Verse 2, there are Beit Abdun et Kolam Komot Asher Avdu Sham HaGoyim, totally destroy all the places of worship where the other nations worship their gods, including on the high places, on the high hills. Then it says to destroy all their altars and all their symbols of worship. And at the end of Pasuk Gimel, it says, V'baretem et shmam min ha-makom ahu. Then you will totally wipe out their name or their reputation from that place. In other words, the first thing you do when you come to the land, get rid of any mark or remnant of idol worship. Then it says in Pasuk Dalet, Lo tasum kein l'Adonai Elohechem. Don't do that to your God. Rashi brings the two classic approaches here. One is, do not destroy an altar for God, like you destroy the altars of the other gods. The other explanation, which fits more into Pshat that Rashi brings down, is when you come in the land, don't worship your God like they worship their gods. How did they worship their gods? In multiple sites, on all the high places, and under the mighty trees, they made multiple places of worship for their God. Instead of worshiping God in that manner, Pasuk Hey continues and explains, Ki im el ha-makom asher yivchar Adonai Elohechem mikol shivtechem. Instead, go to the place which God will choose from all your tribes, lasum et shmo sham, to put his name there, l'shichno tidushu u'bat ha-shama, search for his shechina, search for his presence, and you will come to the proper place. Ve'vetem shama olotechem v'zivchechem, when you find that place, you'll bring there all your offerings. And then it gives more specific instructions, beginning in Pasuk Het, of when to build that permanent site. Lo tasun kecho asher anachnu osim po hayom ish kol yashar beinav. Don't do as we're doing now in the time before the Beit HaMikdash is built. We can sacrifice to God in any place that we feel is correct. Pasuk Tet, ki lo vatem arata, because you haven't come yet, el hamnucha ve'el hanachala, because you haven't come yet to a state of rest and inheritance, asher Adonai Elecha noten lach, which God is giving you. The simplest understanding of menucha, based on the study of the book of Yeshua, would be menucha, rest from conquering the land, and nachala, the actual settlement of the land and building up the cities. God is saying in the time period of kibush and nachala, in the time period of conquering and establishing yourself in the land, you still need the mishkan. But once that stage in history is over and you're settled and stable in your land, then it will be the time to build something more permanent. Pasuk Yud details this. V'avartem et Yarden, you cross the Jordan River, v'shaftem ba'aretz asher Adonai Elohechem manchil etchem, and you'll be dwelling in the land that God is giving you as an inheritance. V'hineach lechem mikol oyvechem misaviv v'shaftem betach, and God will give you rest from all your enemies around, and you'll be living peacefully and quietly. Then v'haya makom asher yivchar Adonai Elohechem bo l'shaken shmo sham, shama taviu et kol asher anochi metzaveh etchem, etc. Then, after you have rest and quiet from all your enemies and are settled down in your land, then it's time to build a permanent house to worship God. There'll be no longer a need for the temporary Mishkan. In the time period of Yeshua, we achieved a certain level of kibush and nachala. We conquered the land, but that conquest was far from complete. During the time of Sefer Shoftim, things go from bad to worse. By the time Sefer Shmuel opens up, the Plishtim have taken over half our country and infiltrated already into the mountain range. The military victories of Shaul and David are able to push the Plishtim out and secure our borders. And David has the feeling that he's been so successful in his military successes and campaigns, and the borders of Israel have become so developed and complete, that he feels he's already achieved the status of Menucha v'Nachala that Sefer Dvarim is talking about. In fact, in the parallel verses in Sefer Shmuel, in Shmuel Bet Perek Zayin, where we have the parallel story, the opening line makes exactly this point. There it refers specifically to these psukim in Sefer Dvarim. In the opening line, when the king was sitting in his own house, in his own palace, and God gave him rest from all his enemies around, then he said to Natan HaNavi, look, I'm sitting in a house of cedar wood, and God's Aron, God's Ark, is only in a tent. So this background helps us understand what David thought and why Natan said yes. God was with David. He captured most of the land of Israel. The country was united. There was a certain sense of stability. And therefore, Natan says, the way he understands the political situation, and the way he understands chapter 12 of Sefer Dvarim, Natan thinks it's quite clear that it's okay to build a house for God. We're going to see now when God answers no to Natan, it's really not a no forever. Rather, it's more of a not yet. We'll see that as we read God's answer in the next set of psukim. So let's return now to Divrei Hayamim Aleph Perek Yud Zayin, and let's read carefully God's answer to Natan. We're going to see he doesn't mention at all anything about David shedding blood or being a man of war. Instead, he's going to emphasize a slightly different point. Let's read again Pasuk Daled. Lech v'amarte al David avdi, ko amar Hashem, lo ata tivne li habayit lashevet. This is the word of God to David. You will not be the one to build a house for me to live in. Ki lo yashavti b'bayit min hayom asher haleiti et Yisrael ad hayom hazeh. Because I have not been living in a house from the time that I took Am Yisrael out of Egypt until this very day. Ve'ayeh me'ohel el ohel u'mimishkan. What was I living in instead? In other words, what was the Ark of God's covenant? The Ark that represented the covenant between God and His people. That was always in a tent, and that tent, the Mishkan, went from place to place. First it was in the desert, then it was in Gilgal, then the Mishkan moved to Shiloh. When Shiloh was destroyed, it went to Nov, and from Nov it went to Givon. So the Mishkan has been going from place to place, yet there was never a decision to establish a permanent site. Pasuk Vav, B'chol asher italachti b'chol Yisrael, everywhere where I went among the nation of Israel, Hadavar dibarti et achad shoftei Yisrael asher tziviti lirot et ami lemor, lama lo venitem libayit arozim. God says, I've been in many places, and I had a relationship with many leaders and judges of Israel. Have I ever commanded any of them, or asked them, how come you haven't built a house for me? What God is implying here is that why does David think he's different than anybody else? God never demanded or requested from any of the leaders of Israel up until now to build a house for God, and there was probably a good reason, because the time wasn't ripe. Why does David think he's different? However, God's answer explains exactly what David is thinking. Pasuk Zayin, V'ata kol tomar labdi leDavid. Here is the word of God to my servant David. And notice he's consistently called Abdi David. David, my servant. There's something very positive here about David. This is the word of God. I brought you up from the pastures, from being a small shepherd, from after the sheep, to become the leader over my people of Israel. I've been with you everywhere you went. And I helped you defeat all your enemies in front of you. I made a name for you. You've become famous. Let's pay careful attention now to how God continues his answer to Nathan. And we're going to see the answer really isn't no. The answer is a qualified yes. And God is going to explain to Nathan why, on the one hand, David is right in wanting to build a Beit HaMikdash, but why he's almost ready, but not quite ready enough. Pasuk Tet. I'm going to make a place for my people of Israel. I'll plant them. They'll dwell securely in that land. They shouldn't become angered again, or things should not become unsettled again. And our enemies should no longer come and try to destroy us, kasher b'rishona, like happened beforehand in the time of the Shoftim and earlier in Sefer Shmuel. Pasuk Yud. Ulemiyamim asher tziviti shoftim alami Yisrael. And from all the years in the time from which I appointed Shoftim over Israel, v'chnati et kol oivecha, you more than any other leader, I give you success against all your enemies. De'agid lecha, and I'm going to tell you now, ubayit divne lecha Hashem. Here's the amazing answer that God gives David. God is telling David through Nathan, I'm going to build a house for you. Ubayit divne lecha Hashem. The word bayit here is key throughout the parak. Remember, David asks to build a house for God, and God's answer is, before you can build a house for me, I need to build a house for you. What does it mean that God is going to build a house for David? It doesn't mean a physical house, because David, as we saw in the beginning of the chapter, is already living in a house. This means God is going to build for David a dynasty. What God seems to be implying here, as I'll explain in the psukim that follow, that in order for David to build a house for God, there needs to be a certain level of permanence and stability, a little more than David himself has achieved. On the one hand, David achieved military success, and the people were living quietly in their land, and there's no longer an existential threat to the existence of Israel, and there's unity. There's no longer a civil war. But the stability has only been around for several years. We're going to see there's still some more major battles that David has to fight, and several years of stability is still not enough to build a permanent house for God. We're going to need stability at a much higher level. We have to wait for the king to be succeeded by his son in a stable fashion. In other words, we need the establishment of a firm monarchy where it's clear who the king is and that his son will take over. That God explains now in the next set of psukim. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, Vayaki malu yamecha, it'll come to pass when your days will be filled, lalechet imavatecha, to go with your fathers, meaning the time will come for you to die, vakimoti et zaracha acharecha, asher yemi banecha, vachinoti et malchuto. I will establish from the children who come after you, from one of your sons, I will help establish his kingdom. Pasuk Yudbet, Hu yivne li bayit. He'll be the one to build for me a house. God's telling David, you can't, but your son can. V'chonanti et kiso ad olam. I'm going to establish his throne forever. What God is telling David is, I need a monarchy. I need a house of David, what we call Beit David. I need an established monarchy before I can build a house for myself. What David and Nathan understood from Sefer Devarim is I need conquest of the land and stability to build a house for God. God says that's true, but there's a higher level of stability that's required. That is the establishment of a stable monarchy where the king is succeeded by his son and there are no challenges to the royal family. So God is telling Nathan to tell David that even though he can't build a house for God, he will establish a monarchy and his son will be able to build a house for God. What will be the relationship between God and this monarchy? God explains as follows in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Ani eyeh lo la'av, I'll be like a father to him, v'hu yeh li leven, he'll be like a son to me. V'chazdi lo yasir mi'imo, my kindness, or my kindness within this covenant, I won't take away from him, kasher siroti me'asher hayeh lefanecha, like I took away from the king who was before you. Recall that God already established a kingdom, a monarchy with Shaul, but that didn't last because Shaul didn't follow God properly. God is telling David that this won't happen again. This time I'm establishing a monarchy, and this monarchy will be an eternal one. God's saying, I won't replace him if he doesn't follow me in the proper manner. I hope that he will, but it'll be more of a father-son relationship and not a master-servant relationship. Just like the relationship between God and his people in Sefer Devarim. In chapter 14, we're told, Banim atem la'shem elokechem, you're like children to me, God says. And just like a father can never disown his son, he might be angry with his son, and they might not get along, but he always remains his son. In the same manner, the nation that God chose to serve him and represent him will always be Am Yisrael. If we do a lousy job, he might be angry with us and punish us and send us into exile, but we're always considered the nation that's going to represent God. In the same way, the house of David will always be the monarchy that will represent God. If the kings do bad, God's going to punish them, and that's going to be one of the main topics of the book of Malachim. It'll be a parent-child relationship. However, that relationship will be an eternal one. V'chazdi lo asir mi'imo kasher asiroti me'asher hayeh lefanecha. Pasuk Yedaled, v'amadati u'beveiti u'v'malchuti ad olam. I will stand him up or establish him in my house and in my kingdom forever. In other words, this kingdom, the kingdom of the house of David, will represent the kingdom of God. V'kiso yenachon ad olam. His throne, the seat of his government, will be established forever. K'chol advarim ha'ele u'k'chol ha'chazon hazeh came to bear Natan of David. All these words and this entire vision, that is what Natan told David. What should David's reaction be to this promise? Recall that David wanted to build a house for God. God on the one hand said, not you, not yet. However, your son, yes. We're going to see David doesn't take this as a no. David is ecstatic. He's going to thank God profusely for this tremendous promise of establishing the house of David and to enable his family to be the family that's going to build the house for God. And we're going to see that in the rest of Divrei Hayamim Aleph, David's going to make every effort possible to get everything ready so when Shlomo becomes king, the Beit HaMikdash is ready to be built. He's going to get all the building materials ready. That'll be the topic of the next several chapters. So listen to David's response to God's promise. V'yavo ha-melech David, v'yashed lifnei Adonai. King David came and sat in front of God. V'yomer, mi ani Adonai Elohim, u'mi biti, ki aviyotani ad halom. Who am I, Hashem? And what is my house that you brought me so far and so high? V'atikton zot be'inecha Elohim, v'tedaber abet abdecha l'merachok. For this is no small thing in front of God. And you've spoken such a wonderful thing about your servant, the merachok, for future generations as well. David is realizing that he's not only promising something to David himself, but also for his future generations. Uritani ketor ha'adam ha'ma'ala Adonai Elohim. And you've treated me like a person of such high stature. David is thanking God profusely for treating him with such respect and such high stature that he's giving him such an important position to be the founder of the dynasty that's going to build the permanent kingdom of the people of Israel. Mayosif od David elecha lichavod et avadecha. What else can David say for the honor that you've given to a servant? V'atat avdecha yadata. You know your servant. Here the word yadata I don't think means to know. Sometimes yadata also means to choose. All through Chumash, the word ladat means not only to know, but to have an intimate relationship. The best example is in Sefer Bereshit, chapter 18, verse 19, where God explains why he's chosen Avram Avinu to become that great nation. There it says, Ki yedativ leman asher yitzaved banav beito acharav. The reason why God has chosen his people, the way Rashi explains he came to love him, he chose them out of love to be the nation that will represent him. Here the word yediyah is used in a similar context. Vatat abdecha yadata, you have chosen your servant. But this choosing is a result of a very intense and close relationship that developed between God and David. Adonai, bavor abdecha uchlibcha, asit et kol gdula hazot, for the sake of your servant and your heart, you've done all this greatness, lodi et kol gdolot, so that I will be able to make known all these great things about you. We're going to see now how David is going to attribute all of his greatness back to God. As he explains in Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, Adonai, ein kamocha, God, there's no one like you. Ve'in Elohim zolotecha, there's no other God other than you. B'chol asher shamanu ba'aznenu, like everything we heard in our own ears. U'mi kamcha Yisrael go'echad ba'aretz. We quote from this pasuk and Shabbos Mincha. And there's no nation like your nation of Israel, one nation living in the land that you set aside for them. Asher alach Elohim, liftot lo lo'am, where God went out of his way to redeem them to be his people by taking them out of Egypt, l'sum lecha Hashem, in order to make a name for you, gdulot v'noraot, wondrous miracles, the garesh b'bnei amcha, asher baditim v'mitzayim goyim, to chase away in front of your nation, other nations, the nation that you took out of Egypt. What David HaMelech is saying is, look what you've done for your nation. You've gone out of your way, become involved in history. You helped your people chase away all its enemies. And that's why you took them out of Egypt, so they can become a nation in your land. But the purpose of that nation being established is to make a name for you. What David is saying is, you've given me greatness, and you've given the nation of Israel greatness. But David HaMelech understands the purpose of why God is giving us greatness is so that we can make a name for God. When God told Avram Avinu, V'eschal l'goy gadol, v'agalash shemecha, I'll make you a great nation, I'll make your name great, that enables Am Yisrael to make God's name great. David understands that purpose, and it's exactly for that reason why God chooses David to become the founder of this monarchy that will build a house for God, and the purpose of that house will be to make a name for God, as Sefer Dvarim explains, HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem L'Shaken Shmo Sham, the place that God will choose to make his name and reputation known. Pasach Habet, V'titen et Amcha Yisrael L'cha La'am Ad Olam. Now David prays that Am Yisrael should always be your nation forever. V'ata Adonai, you, God, should be for them their God. This phrase, that we'll be his nation and he'll be our God, is mentioned many times in Chumash. The first time is the fourth cup that we drink to at the Seder in the beginning of Parsha Va'era, in Perek Vav and Sefer Shemot, in chapter 6, in verses 6 and 7, when we have the four Lashonot of Gula. The fourth Lashon is, V'lakachti etchem li la'am, V'ayti lahem la'lohim. We have the same psukim at Mamad Har Sinai in Va'ikra Perek Vav, in psukim Tet, in verses 9, 10, and 11. And throughout Nevi'im, we have this idea that we'll be his nation, he'll be our God. That phrase, Be'ot Lachel Elohim, is first mentioned explicitly in Brit Milah, back in Breshit, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. So David is focusing here on one of the main themes of Chumash, where the purpose of the covenant between God and his people is to be a nation representing God, we'll be his nation, he'll be our God. Pasuk Chav Gimel, V'ata Adonai Adavar Asher Dibarta Al Avdecha Ve'al Beito, Ye'amen Ad Olam. Now David continues to pray that this word and this promise that you've made about your servant, about his household, about this monarchy, should become established and become true forever. V'asei kasher dibarta, and please do as you said. V'yamein, and it should become established and true. V'igdal shimcha ad olam lemor, your name, and hence your reputation, should become great forever. As people will say, Adonai tzvot Elohi Yisrael, Elohim liYisrael. Hashem tzvot, the God of all creation, the God of Israel, he is the God of the Jewish people. Ubeit David abdecha nachon lefanecha, and the household of David, your servant, will be ready and established in front of you. What David is alluding to here is that in the same manner that the Jewish people are chosen eternally to represent God on the national level, in the same manner the house of David will be chosen eternally to be the leader of the Jewish people in how they represent God. David now is comparing the bechira of his household to the bechira, to the chosenness of the Jewish people themselves. We have the same idea developed in Yirmiyahu chapter 33, in verses 19 through 22. If you want to take a look at something similar in relation to the eternal nature of God choosing Am Yisrael and God choosing the house of David, there Yirmiyahu describes that quite explicitly in those psukim. Now David concludes his prayer in Pasach Hafei, Ki ata Elohai, because you, my God, galita et ozen abdecha livnot lo bayit, you have made known to the ear of your servant that you want him to build a house for you. Al kein matza abdecha lipala lefanecha. Therefore, your servant has found it correct to pray in front of you. David understands God's answer is yes, but a qualified yes. Yes, you can, but not yet. Your son will build. David is going to make every effort to get that house built for God, both physically and spiritually, as we'll see in the rest of this book. V'ata Adonai, ata hu Elohim. And now Hashem, you are the one and only God. V'tadaber al avdecha hatova zot. You have spoken about your servant, about this great goodness. And now you've begun to bless the house of your servant, to be ready to serve you forever. Because you, Hashem, you're the one giving this blessing, and you are blessed forever. Here, that concept of bracha, just like God, we have the same word of bracha when God first chooses Avram Avinu, David takes the same concept of bracha in relation to God choosing the house of David. There's great hopes now for the house of David, just like there were great hopes for the Jewish nation. And through many years of the First Temple period, indeed, the house of David does a wonderful job in building the Mikdash and leading the Jewish people in the proper direction. However, there'll also be some very bad kings. That was one of the main topics of Sefer Melachim, of what went wrong during the First Temple period and the failures of the house of David. However, the idea that the house of David is chosen forever to represent God, and the nature of David's character that led to the purpose of his being chosen, is something we can learn a lot from for all generations. Now, anyone who has ever studied this topic before, of why David couldn't build the Beit HaMikdash, I'm sure has heard a very different answer. The classic answer you always hear when you were told that David couldn't build the Beit HaMikdash was that God told him, you're a man of war, you're a man with blood on your hands, and because you're so involved with death and bloodshed, you can't be the person to build a house for God. If you've paid attention to this chapter, God never says a word about that. He tells David that you can't build, but your son can build. He tells David that there needs to be much more stability before we can build a house for God. Why that's the famous answer that everyone always says is going to be based on what we're going to learn in chapter 22 in Divrei Hayamim, and the reason why David HaMelech gives the reason about blood on his hands later to Shlomo his son in chapter 22 will be the topic of our shir when we get to chapter 22. In the meantime, the next several chapters will talk about the remaining battles that David fights, which will support the idea that we haven't yet reached Menuchah v'Nachala, we're almost there, that we didn't reach total rest from our enemies yet. And we're also going to see how David is going to take advantage of all the spoils of war that he gains from those battles and will dedicate it to the treasury in order to build this house for God. Again, that will be the topic in the next several shiurim.